Successful startups wind up in one of two places, as a publicly traded company or as the target of a merger or acquisition. On this week's Techonomics, host Jason Middleton looks at a company's exit, how do workers deal with companies that have given them shares instead of salaries, and then that company is targeted for a takeover.
Hi, and welcome back to Techonomics. Okay, so this week we're looking at the newness of either entering the workforce for younger workers or entering the world of startups with a new company. We look at not just who is hiring, but how they are hiring, what decision makers are looking for in tech workers. Hint, hint, keep playing those video games. There's also the serverless cloud computing tech sector that is just getting its legs underneath itself with an expected uptick in hiring coming soon. Corporate culture. You need one, and it needs to not only be strong and fair, but it also needs to be communicated so you can attract the right kind of worker. And finally, the exit. When a startup is cherried up for either sale or merger, workers can get skittish because the company taking over may not keep everyone or may not offer appropriate buyouts. And startup workers, well, they tend to be pretty passionate, so this is serious business. We landed a veteran financial advisor who has helped workers and entire companies through the land of the exit strategy. That interview starts now.
George Nocetti, wealth advisor at Morgan Stanley in Walnut Creek, California.
George, welcome back. How's that cappuccino?
Cappuccino's doing well. This was a debt, I think, that you that you had to pay me.
Yeah, I lost a cappuccino bet on the federal interest rate hike, so I'm making good. We're clean, right? We're square.
You and I are good now, and I'm not going to err and go against you again.
Oh, you will by the end of this interview. I want to set the stage for helping people understand the ecosystem here in the Valley, right? Specifically Silicon Valley, right? A lot of startups, a lot of LLCs, a lot of privately held companies. Right. A lot of them are very small. But a lot of them get gobbled up by the bigger fish.
Mm-hmm.
So my question was, what happens to the employees during this? Now, maybe the founders have a certain path that they follow. Mm-hmm. Not all founders have an exit idea mm-hmm. when they create a business. But sometimes the opportunities present themselves, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Paint a picture for me from a client's perspective, how you help guide them and what you're seeing.
Well, here we are. We're in the San Francisco Bay Area. This is the home of mergers and acquisitions. So all these businesses that you see along the Embarcadero, they're all, you know, social media, cloud computing, huge buildings being built to house all these people, mm-hmm. five-figure, six-figure type jobs that are developing now. Mm-hmm. So they're all in these businesses because they want to make more money later on. They want to be acquired. They want to be merged. And so you have two types of companies out there. You have publicly traded companies that want to add one of these great Silicon Valley or San Francisco Bay Area companies to their portfolio to help add value,
mm-hmm.
and they buy these little private companies with stock because they're publicly traded.
Right.
And then you have the venture people who have a lot of private equity money. Wealthy people put money into private equity funds, and a famous venture capitalist would go out there and analyze companies, mm-hmm. and with that money go buy that company with the idea of reorganizing it, repurposing it, and getting it ready for sale.
Right.
So you have those two things that are going on here in the San Francisco Bay Area all the time.
All the time.
And now you have hundreds of thousands of employees that are affected by that.
There we go.
So what happens if you're in one of these companies and you hear rumors that you might be acquired?
Sure. Because this valley lives on rumors.
Exactly.
I mean, it's the gas in the tank.
So you're an employee. You've put your heart and soul into this company.
Right.
You have maybe a social mission or a personal mission, and
right.
maybe you're a boss, you're a manager or supervisor, and all of a sudden you hear that you might be merged or acquired, you really start to worry. You become fearful because you could lose your power and position. You may not be with that company if it gets merged.
And you've been kind of investing in your own hope and mission for the company from the beginning, right? So your deferred payment, if you will, your
many,
idea
many
is not
late
necessarily
nights, many late
money.
Nights right. working on the computer.
Sweat equity,
exactly, because you have some hope that your mission is going to come forward and you're going to get paid on it at some point.
Sure. I mean, exit of
exactly.
some sort, right? Yeah. So you sacrifice the short-term monthly stipend or salary or whatever. You
right.
hold on to some shares. And then this bigger fish comes in and says, no, we want you as part of our team. We're going to acqui-hire you.
Right.
Not all acqui-hires are 100%. It can be binary
exactly.
when those things happen. So that, and you're saying that's where the fear, maybe a little bit of worry
well,
comes
yeah,
in?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, we call this behavioral finance. You're in a job and you're wondering what's going to happen to me economically. So when you hear about these rumors, a lot of times people go through some phases. The first phase might be denial that we really are going to be acquired, because usually it starts off as a rumor.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it becomes more reality, employees can enter into the fear factor. I'm fearful of what's going to happen to me. And then some employees, hearing that they're going to be acquired, there's a resistant phase.
Sure.
Where they're going to fight their boss, they're going to fight everything because things have changed.
Especially if they have a certain class of stock. In the smaller firm, they can
right.
fight back with a little bit more ammunition.
Exactly. But what we recommend really is to kind of take a step back, learn as much about this acquiring company as possible. Get on LinkedIn, go on the blogs, learn more about this acquiring company's behavior. How do they treat employees? Do they put packages together to retain people or to sever people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, really, really do your research first. I think that's really the most important thing. When a company does get acquired or merged, management comes in and they're very quiet. There's a lot of closed doors, a lot of meetings.
Yes.
Because the company that's acquiring the smaller company doesn't know a lot about them, really.
Right. They need to learn the landscape.
Analyzing personnel and that sort of thing. So
sure.
This is an opportunity for that employee to get their house cleaned up, you know, get all their things organized, learn as much about their bosses as possible. So when you have that first meeting, you're going to go there very knowledgeable how you can add value and how you can help.
Right.
Because that employer is probably going to reduce some positions, but they're also going to offer people some positions, which might mean more stock as a retention or more cash as a retention. Many different types of packages are put forward to really retain people. And so the employee who could be retained, it has to analyze those and find out if it's in their best interest.
When do you get engaged with an employee going through this? Do you have to wait for, let's say, the PE firm to make its offer of you stay, you go, you stay, you go? And do you help both sides of that equation? Or do people come to you when they're like, okay, I got an exit and this is what I need to do next?
Well, we have a lot of millennials that are our clients. And
sure.
So they're affected by this.
Right.
So they come to us as their financial advisor to figure out and to understand their stock options package. Because it may seem very attractive to get stock options, but a lot of times as a retention, you may get the option to buy stock out into the future. So the option price might be at today's price, but you may not be able to go execute it for 5 or 10 years. So the question is, do you think the company is going to double in size, double in the price of the share,
right,
so that you can get some benefit? In some cases, when there's stock option programs presented, the stock price never goes up. I mean, it may go up and it may go down. And then at the time, 5 or 10 years down the road, you can go exercise your option. You wouldn't do it if it was underwater, below the stock price. You know, you'd want it to be way above the stock price because you're going to have to buy the stock at a low rate and then hopefully get the appreciation.
So it's a lockup similar to when a company IPOs?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's not really a lockup, but it's really a retention that if you stay 5 or 10 years,
I see.
Then you're going to be able to exercise that option. And hopefully, as the employee, you've added value. You've made our company grow.
Right.
And now the stock is worth double.
Okay.
So you have to come up with cash to get the cost basis, what that option was given to you at. But the appreciation part is what you really can pick up.
What's the life cycle of this look like, George? What's the time frame? Let's say, just for sake of argument, PE firm comes in January. They take a quarter to look at this.
Right.
January, February, March. And then they get into April, and then they have made their assessments as what they're going to keep and what they're going to not
keep. Yeah, they really want to let employees know as soon as possible what the corporate infrastructure plan is, what the employee retention plan is. Because from the day they come on board—
Is that typically a quarter? Or is it longer?
Sometimes it can be a lot longer because acquiring a company is not that easy. I mean, it looks good on paper. You know, the financials look good, but then you get in there, you have to make it work. You have to be able to talk strategy with employees. You have to evaluate employees. It doesn't happen automatically. It can take a long time. And the longer it takes, the more risk the acquiring company has of losing their existing employee base.
Behavioral finance.
Yep.
How much psychology is in your job?
Well,
when you're sitting on your side of the desk looking at a client that can be anywhere between completely freaked out can't wait to sign a check.
Right. Well, perception is reality. So what happens is when the acquiring company comes in, they really have to have their act together in terms of communicating what is going to happen month to month, day to day, what they're going to do, how they're going to treat people. Because really, that's all that the employees really care about is what's going to happen to me. So the psychology of what's communicated is very important. Many times when mergers aren't successful, it's because there's been a lack of communication.
Well, you know,
people start fantasizing the worst reality.
Sure, I've been through a PE takeover. It can be harrowing.
Well, it creates disruption because the employee is making their future financial plans on getting a paycheck and having some growth out into the future. So if they're unhappy, if it isn't as they thought it was going to be, and they decide to leave, they might be fully unprepared to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I say if an employee is in a situation where they're going to be acquired, that's a time to be positive and look for opportunity.
Right. And you said get your house in order.
And also get your house in order, because if it's not what you want and what you think it's going to be, you have to have a fallback position.
That was George Nocetti. He's a wealth advisor at Morgan Stanley here in Walnut Creek, California. George has navigated several of these corporate exits and has polished his bedside manner when it comes to jittery employees going through a sale or merger. We have links to George's work on KGORadio.com/Techonomics. This segment and three more segments related to new companies and new employees are also at KGORadio.com/Techonomics. And that's going to do it for this week's show. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to check in with us, clickety-clack on over to Facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. We also post the music we use for each week's show over there. Right now, we have some beats playing from the Gorillaz' new album that just dropped. For executive producer Mike Anthony and producer Liana Wilcox, my name's Jason Middleton. This has been Techonomics. Have great weeks, everybody.